privilege to be in this pulpit. Thank Steve and the congregation for this opportunity. This evening we are going to cite several verses in 1 and 2 Timothy. So if you'd like, you can turn to those books and we'll talk about those things here in a little while. I would be remiss if I did not add my personal word of thanks for your presence here this evening and for those of you who are listening on various electronic devices. The fact that you are here or that you are listening is indicative of your interest in things that are spiritual, and you are to be condoned for that, praised for that. I'll get it right in a minute here. So keep that in mind. We appreciate it. I thank you for the reading of the text. You did an excellent job with that. We're going to talk about two New Testament figures this evening. We're going to talk about the Apostle Paul, and we're going to talk about the young preacher Timothy. And if you want to look, there's an outline on the second page of the bulletin that you can read through as we go on with this. Paul, also known as Saul earlier, was born in Tarsus, which is in the northeast corner of the Mediterranean. He was a Roman citizen and made full use of that fact. He was of pure Jewish blood. His father was a Pharisee. He was educated in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel in the school of Hillel. Gamaliel was probably the best known of the Jewish teachers or the Jewish rabbis, whatever term you want to use, and Paul undoubtedly was a good student. He was strongly, fanatically devoted to Judaism. He sought to imprison Christians. He sought, if you'll recall, he was the one that the people who stoned Stephen to death laid the garments in front of. But he was converted. And after he was converted, he traveled throughout the Mediterranean Sea area. He was imprisoned twice by the Roman authorities. Second time he was executed. He wrote at least 13 books of the New Testament, and he was a spiritual father to the young man Timothy. The young man Timothy was a preacher. Now understand the definition of young man then and the definition of young man now are two different things. Okay, young men now I consider to be someplace between 18 and 30. That wasn't the case at this time. At this time, young men were younger than 40. So while we're talking about him as a young man, he may have been a little older than perhaps we thought. He was Paul's spiritual son. Some of the commentators, some of those skilled writers, seemed to think that that was because Paul had actually baptized him himself. Whether that's the case or not, he identifies himself as a spiritual child. Timothy was amiable. He was faithful. He was somewhat timid. His mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois both taught him and nurtured him in Judaism, and both were converted to Christianity. He accompanied Paul on some of his journeys. The last letter that Paul wrote was probably 2 Timothy. At that time, Paul knew he was going to be executed and wanted Timothy to come to him if it was indeed possible. Timothy was a good friend, a faithful friend, and a preacher of the word. And we're going to go through some of the text between that Paul gave for Timothy's approval, for Timothy to learn from. And our point, when we get to that point, will be that we're not young preachers. I'm a little older than 40. Maybe some of you are as well. But that's not what we can do here. We can take what Paul teaches Timothy, and we'll go through several verses of that, and we can apply it to our own lives, because it all applies to us as well as it did to Timothy. That's what we're here for tonight, is to study God's word, and that's what I intend to do. If you have any questions about that, I'm going to give you the verses that it comes from. And if you don't think I'm right, then tell me, and I'll correct it. I'll fix it if I can do that. So, let's take a look here. He taught Timothy in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 3. Don't teach strange doctrines and don't allow others to do so. Verse 4, don't waste your time on myths and genealogies. Verse 5, instruct in love. Verse 8, use the law lawfully. Now, how do you use the law unlawfully? Well, I can tell you some people who did. Degree, and they thought they could change it or make it right, but they didn't. We can't do that. We have to make the law say what the law actually says through that. Christ saved sinners, including Paul. That's in the 15th verse of chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. He taught Timothy to fight the good fight. That was in verse 18 of Timothy, 1 Timothy, first chapter. We're supposed to pray for all men, including authorities. That's in the second chapter, 1 Timothy, verse 1. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, 9 through 15, women are required to act appropriately. And I'll let you ladies decide what appropriately is, but that's what he's instructed Paul. I'm sorry, he's instructed Timothy. In the third chapter of 1 Timothy, verses 1 through 16, there are instructions for appointing deacons. In the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 5, we're to avoid apostasy. In the first chapter, verses 6 through 16, we're supposed to instruct ministers in that particular regard. In 1 through 16 of verse 5, verses 1 through 16, honor widows and others. And 12 through 25, I'm sorry, 17 through 25, we're have instructions as to how elders are appointed and what their qualifications are. In the sixth chapter of 1 Timothy, verses 1 through 21, there are instructions for a minister. In the first chapter of 2 Timothy, 1 through 18, Timothy is instructed to guard his trust that had been given to him by Paul and by the elders of some of the congregations. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 1 through 13, Timothy is to be strong. Now, Timothy, according to what we read and what it appears, was not necessarily strong, okay? He grew to be that way, but when he started out, he was not as strong as perhaps Paul thought he should be. So he's being instructed here to be strong, to stand up for the word, to do that. In the third chapter, 2 Timothy, Paul is predicting difficult times. In the second chapter, verses 14 through 26, portion of which I believe Albert read for us, that we are to be an unashamed workman. Now, what does that mean? If you go in Jeff's shop, you'll see that he is a skilled workman in wood. He can make things that I couldn't dream of making. Okay. What we are to be, as far as God is concerned, is we have to be good work. We have to know enough to teach others. We have to be a workman that's not ashamed of what he knows or what she knows. Do that. That is important. That's what we're required to be. And if we fail in that requirement, then we have failed in what God has instructed us to do. Finally, we are to preach the word. That's in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, verses 1 through 8. Now, all of us don't preach from the pulpit. All of us don't preach when we teach classes. But all of us have things that we can do in order to preach the gospel. And we must do the things that we're capable of doing through that. I've watched ladies in this church who taught, and they taught by the manner in which they acted. And you could look at them and you could understand what they were doing, what they were capable of, and what they did. Our obligation is to do the things that we can do. Not all the same. It's never going to be all the same. But everybody has a task they can perform. And we need to do the things. We need to learn the same things that Paul taught Timothy. We're not young preachers. Some of us are never going to be young preachers through that. But we can profit from the instructions that we heard. We have to learn the word. We have to preach it by whatever means we can use. And if that means making a telephone call to somebody that you haven't seen here for a while, then that's what you need to do. If that means sending out a card to somebody who's been here once and invite them back, then that's what we can do. My grandmother had a little table and a chair right beside it, next to her telephone. Now, you only had one telephone for her. But every day, she would sit down and she would call the people that needed to be called. She wasn't a great speaker. She looked like everybody's Irish grandmother. But she did what she could. And that's our obligation. Excuse me, as well. The requirements of a Christian life must be carried out. That's part of what Paul instructed Timothy about. We have to avoid wasting our time on traditions or things that are not in the text. We have to do that. We must teach what Paul instructed Timothy to teach. We must be strong. We must be skilled workmen. We need to use God's word as it should be used. There are ways that you could use the word that aren't appropriate. If you pick out a verse to say something that you want it to say, and you don't look at the adjoining verses, and you don't look at the other texts that are available on that, then you're not teaching God's law lawfully. That's inappropriate. We can't do that. That'll cost us through that. If you have failed in any of these texts, then you need to correct that. We'll help you correct that at night. If you have yet to join God's church, we can fix that tonight as well. We have a baptistry. We have clothing that's prepared. We can do that if you haven't become a member of the church. If we can assist you in any way that the good book allows, we'd ask you to come. All together we stand and sing our song.
Oh. Hark the gentle voice of Jesus Christ.